what he mentioned, you know, we have no talk before service about what the message is or what the songs are going to be. But after listening to Battle Belongs, Made for More, God really loves us. It's amazing how that's going to be reflected in my message. Just to start off, introduction. I know a lot of you, but for those of you who don't know me, my name is Michael Reek. I am married to my wonderful wife, Ashley, and we have four great kids, Braxton, Tyler, Christian, and Faithlin. I am the oldest of three, and I am the oldest grandson of Eldon and Martha Sirks. So, Pam sent me an email Tuesday saying, what do you want your title to be for Sunday? And what is the verse going to be? And I was sitting here thinking, I don't know. I've been having this pressure on my heart for the past few months to get up here and do something I'm not used to speak out about my faith. And I finally gathered up the strength to ask Luke after Christmas. And I said, Luke, I don't know what it is. I don't know if someone needs to hear something or if I just need to let my testimony flow out into the world. But would you be okay if I gave a message? And he said, sure. You can do 10 minutes. You can do the whole time. And I'm like, 10 minutes would probably be pretty easy. And then the more I thought about it, 10 minutes isn't very long. I have a lot to go through. I have three pages up here. Just a little bit about me. Born and raised here in Aledo. Grew up attending Messiah Lutheran just down the road. Was baptized there. Confirmed. Attended church all the way through high school. So when I was thinking about what to title the message today, it came to me Tuesday night as I was sitting there reading, Win the Prize. How many people in here are competitive? Nah, there should be more hands up, but that's okay. I've seen some of you at men's bags tourneys and all that, so growing up, I remember playing Uno. And what's the one card that you always want? Draw four. You're holding that one, and then when that person has that last card in their hand, you're going to ruin their day. Currently, with my kids, the game of choice is Double Trouble. It's everyone against Dad. Everyone get Dad. All right. I'll show you. I'm going to get each and every one of you out, and you're going to go back to home. Let's just say the competitive nature runs in the family. My two little ones argue about who's going to feed the dog first. They run and yell at each other, it's my turn first, it's my turn. Why don't they do that when it's time to clean their rooms? So growing up in Aledo, what did every boy want to be? He wanted to be an Aledo Green Dragon. And to say that we've been blessed with great teammates, great coaches, great history, I let my high school years define me. And I was, not to say that I shouldn't be proud of our accomplishments, but to sit here and rest on the laurels of high school football. Is that who I want to be? Once I graduated, I ended up going to two-year technical school. Graduated. Was able to get a job before I even graduated. What's the one thing that 20-year-olds desire in life? Money. So I thought, here I am, I have a new job, all this money pouring in, when I realize it's not a lot of money nowadays. And what am I doing? I'm spending it, buying a new car, going out, buying golf clubs, even though I've never golfed in my life, buying a golf membership, What am I doing? I'm living for the world. My career continued an upward trajectory. I started out low as a trainee, worked my way up to a detailer, worked my way up to project manager. I was getting the emails from customers saying, I want Michael on my next job. He's doing a great job. To say that my head didn't grow 10 times as big as it is right now would be an understatement. What did I look for? What was I trying to gain? I was all about myself. When the opportunity for me came up in 2011 to move to Newton, Iowa, to take the next step in my journey, I took it. And I thought, here I am, 28 years old, the youngest manager in the entire company. I'm going to make a name for myself. And how am I going to do that? I'm going to be a boss. I'm going to tell people how to do their job. Now that I look back, man, I wish I could give myself some advice. When I moved to Newton, I met my wife. And I still remember the first four words that I ever heard her say. I'm going on break. Little did I know that a year later we would be dating, and then 2 years later we'd be married. We got married in our church. We became members of First Lutheran in Newton. I was comfortable with my relationship with God at that point. Growing up Lutheran, attending a Lutheran church, standing to sing. No outward hallelujahs or amens or hand raising. I'm comfortable. And to say that now I feel ashamed. So we ended up leaving that church and we went to a couple other churches. We went to a few that had the vocal amens, had the hand raising. No, this ain't me. I can't do this. In reality, the excuse I was giving was, I just don't feel it. I was of the mindset that I could sit home Sunday morning. I can sit in my chair. I can have a little moment with God. And then I could turn on the TV and watch football. I realized that as your relationship with God goes, so does your life. So in 2016, I took a new job with the company. It was a brand new position. We were looking at a project manager role that would manage projects where we supply steel rebar. But then we also have our own ironworkers on the job, too. Brand new job, sure. I'm going to take that. I'm going to run with it. I'm going to make it my own. I'm going to do the best that I can. 2 years later, after millions of dollars lost, construction schedules pushed out, we decided that that part of the business needs to go away. So then I'm thinking, was it my fault? No, it's not my fault. It's my boss's fault. He didn't give me direction. He didn't give me the tools that I needed. Some of that might be true. But am I being accountable and responsible myself? I didn't want to look at myself and know that it was my fault. So when that ended, we had a conversation. What do you want to do? You know, you want to continue to project manage or do you want to do something else? And we worked on a plan. And once things wound down, we would revisit it. So June 21st, 2019, I get a call. Hey, come into my office, talk to me. Okay, here we go. We're going to have this conversation. What's the next step in my career? So I sit down and think, well, we have a salesman retiring. Maybe I'm going to go into sales. I'm going to prove myself and sell millions of dollars of work. My two choices. You can take a demotion or you can leave. Talk about it. Knife right in your heart. The job that I've known for 13 years has basically said, here's your choice. Take it or leave it. To say I was blindsided is an understatement. I got in my car and left, and I immediately called Ashley and said, I just got fired. What are we going to do? At that point, she was staying at home with our two youngest ones. I was the only one working. What are we going to do? The last thing she said to me before we hung up was, God will provide. Yeah, just what I really wanted to hear at that point. God will provide. If God will provide, he wouldn't have had me fired. Now that I look back on my time there, and it came to me between services here, that was God with that Uno card, slamming it down and saying, nope, you're not done yet. You got four more chances. So what are you going to do? So my last day at Harris Rebar was July 3rd. Didn't have any plans, no job, no clue. A week later, I get contacted by a company in Davenport. Hey, come on over, let's sit down, talk. We might have some use for you. 2 days later, I had a job offer. The following week, we were making plans to move back to my hometown. And I remember early in our marriage, Ashley goes, would you ever move back to Illinois? And I said, no, no. And then I thought about it, and I'm like, I could live in Alito. Family, friends. It's everything that you would want in a hometown. So we packed up all of our stuff and moved here and bought a house. Started work, got used to new schools. When we got here, it was more of the same, though. Staying home on Sundays. Non-existent prayer life. Ashley said, we should try some churches. I said, we can go to Lutheran Church. She said, no, we're not going to Lutheran Church. That's the comfort of it all. So finally in October, I said, I'm going to take the boys. We're going to have a guys' weekend at my uncle's. We're going to watch football. We're going to eat a bunch of unhealthy food. And you and Faithlin can have a girls' weekend. She goes, okay. So we stayed the night and came home the next day. And I said, how was your weekend? Good. We went to church. Okay, where did you go? Oh, we went to First Baptist. Oh, okay, Grandma and Grandpa's church. Okay. She goes, we're going next week. I said, oh, okay. We're going to a Baptist church. Okay. October 20th was our first weekend here. We've basically been here every weekend since in the past 5 years. This is the first church that I can say that I have a relationship with God. Hearing the word, hearing the message from Luke and Seth every week, it made me realize, you know, things have worked out. You know, they've been pretty bad, but they've worked out for the best. But am I the best husband and dad that I can be? You know, statistics say when a dad accepts Christ, 90% of the time his family does. Do I need to sit here and look at myself and try to realize, am I the best that I can be? Not on paper and not the way the world sees me, but the way God sees me. Anyone that knows a Little Green Dragon football in the late 90s, early 2000s, has heard the song In the Light by DC Talk. Goes like this. I keep trying to find a life on my own apart from you. I am the king of excuses. I've got one for every selfish thing I do. Tell me what's going on inside of me. I despise my own behavior. This only serves to confirm my suspicions that I'm still a man in need of a savior. The disease of self runs through my blood. It's a cancer fatal to my soul. Every attempt on my behalf has failed to bring this sickness under control. I want to be in the light as you are in the light. I want to shine like the stars in the heavens. Oh Lord, be my light and be my salvation, because all I want to be is in the light. Would you please stand with me as we read today's reading? Today's message is from Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And Heavenly Father, I thank you again for today, for allowing me to get up here and talk, and I know it's not the easiest thing for me to do, but thank you for giving me strength, and I hope that this message reaches whoever it needs to, any part of it. Let my words continue to be your words, and thank you for your precious son. Thank you for the life that you have called me to live. I know that this is your will, Lord, and that I am your servant and continue to do whatever might be. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I was sitting here preparing for the message, it occurred to me, today is 5 years exactly from when I was baptized. Back in December of 2019, I sat here and thought, you know what, I need to make that step. I need to put myself out there and rededicate my life to Jesus. So I signed the bottom of the bulletin and put it in the basket. 5 years ago. What an amazing 5 years it's been. I just thank God every day that he pursued me, that he brought me home, that he brought me to a church that cares about each and every person. And now I get to live my life pursuing others for him. The next verse that came to mind was 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it for a crown that will live forever. Looking back at my early days, state championships, track medals, sure, those are nice. Nice little tokens, but do they matter? I can sit here and say, yeah, look, kids, here's my little ring. But if my kids don't know Jesus, if they don't know the salvation that is given to them, then what does it matter? So after I was baptized, we became members of First Baptist. I was able to join the men's ministry. Being able to sit and talk with godly men. Men that actually spoke truth and cared for people the way that Jesus has called us to care for people. My wife got involved with kids' ministry. God bless her. I don't know how we could deal with our four kids, let alone go on Wednesday night and deal with a whole class full of them. But then she eventually talked me into it. So I'm Mr. Michael, and we're doing games this week. The days were stressful. And the last thing I would tell myself is, I don't want to go. I don't have the energy. But then, about an hour before, I need you. You need to go and make an impact on these kids' lives. They're looking for you to lead them. So we played a lot of The Floor is Lava, Duck, Duck, Goose. Also during this time, my wife Ashley was rebaptized. To say that she's not the rock in my life would be an understatement. I look back and there's another Uno card. God brought her into my life. She's been with me in my darkest moments. She's been there and encouraged me. Now it's my turn to lead her and lead our family. My son Braxton, going through the teen years, moving to a new school, new town. I know it's not easy. There were times where me and mom felt that. What can we do for you? Why are we doing everything we can? And I thank God for this church. Troy, Tish, when we weren't there, you were. You guys have meant so much to Braxton. Thank you for everything that you've done for him. Thank you for the guidance. Thank you for the support. It is a community. We can't do it alone. Tyler. It's an honor being your dad. It's been tough, but I wouldn't change anything in the world. We've had our ups and downs, but I only see greatness out of you in the future. A lot of you may remember when we were having issues with Tyler's behavior, and we'd seen doctors, and We just couldn't figure it out. And we finally came to the realization that, you know, there's something just taking hold of him. And we keep praying about it. We just can't shake it. So one Sunday, Luke called us up and prayed over us. But not only Luke, the entire church came up and prayed over us. Things changed that day. Tyler changed. Not because of our faith, but because of this entire church's faith. Prayer does work. Christian and faithful. To say they get a kick out of kids club is an understatement as well. Nothing like coming home at 8:30 on a Wednesday night all sugared up, trying to put them to bed. But to know that during their time in kids club, that both of them have accepted Jesus. To hear Faithland sing in the shower, "Oh Lord, the battle belongs to you." And then to hear her preaching to Christian in their room, this is what baptism is. None of that would be possible without this church. First Thessalonians 5:16-18. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Things have been going well. Work has been good. I have a job. We're making by. I get a call from a recruiter in May saying there's this other company and they're hiring for a senior project manager. Would you be interested? Okay, let me get all the details. And I go through the interview process and they're like, "We'd like to meet you in person." So I ended up driving up to Chicago in July, and I met with the operations manager for the company. We went out to dinner and talked, and they agreed that I'd be a perfect fit for the company. And I just thought, okay. But instead of okay, I looked at it as, is this your will, God? If this is your will, so be it. I had that mindset that I'll go wherever you want me to. So the following week, I get a phone call from them. "Sorry, we just can't afford your salary." So instead of sitting all dejected like I was the previous time, I said, "Your will, God, your will." The following day, a job posting comes up at my current company, North Carolina. Okay. What are you saying, God? I talked to Ashley and said, "How would you like to live in North Carolina?" She goes, "I don't know." "Go ahead and apply for it." Well, the job posting, the first line of the job posting is Lexington, North Carolina, barbecue capital of the world. Now, come on. Barbecue. Right? So I start my application, and I'm getting ready to hit apply. And something says, "No, don't do it." So I hold off for one day. I pray about it. And we talked again. "Is this right?" So the next day, I'm going to hit apply and see what happens. I log onto my computer. The job posting's down. They've already taken it down. There's my answer. "Nope. It's not time." Okay. 3 days later, it comes back up again. Now I'm getting confused. It's like, what do you want me to do, Lord? you want me to apply for this? You want me not to? You know, just give me an answer. And that answer was yes, go ahead and apply. So I figure, okay, I'll apply. Company of 32,000 people. What are my chances? I might get lucky, get an interview, get some feedback. What do I need to do to better myself? Okay. So I get a call. Hey, we want to do an interview. Okay, sounds good. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So I do the interview. At this time, I start coaching third and fourth grade football. And as Travis can verify, coaching third and fourth grade football is like herding chickens. Win the prize. Win the prize. So what are we telling our kids? Win the prize. What are we trying to do? Are we trying to win every game? Yes, we're trying to win every game. But there's more important things than winning. It's winning in life. I'm happy to say that we were able to preach and pray over to each one of the kids on those teams. They might not have known God beforehand, but when they were done with the season, we went 0-6. We scored one touchdown. We got outscored 200-something to 6. But you know what? They knew God at the end of the year. So between work and football and family, I get a call. Hey, we want you to come interview in person in North Carolina. Oh, this is getting serious now. Okay, when do you want me to fly out? Towards the end of the month. This is September. I said, okay, I can do that. September 27th, in-person interview scheduled in Lexington, North Carolina. Hurricane Helene is hitting North Carolina that same day. My flight is delayed 3 hours from Moline to Charlotte. Interview's at 1. I land in Charlotte at 1:30. We're off to a great start. I called my manager and said, hey, just landed. I'll be there when I get there. Run through the airport, get my rental car, get on the road. Don't even stop to go to the bathroom. Drive an hour to Lexington. Get off the interstate, and I'm getting dressed on the side of the interstate. Pull up, go through the interview. They asked me one of the questions. What would your teammates say about you now? How would they describe you? And I responded back, me now or me 6 years ago? 6 years ago, I was prideful, cared about myself. Just not a good person. Now, I'm a child of God. I'm a man of God. Everything I do is because of him. Every opportunity that I have is because of him. If I am meant to have this position, it is because it is his will. And I will do everything that I can to abide by him. They say, when you go in an interview, don't talk politics and religion. Well, I just did. And I got home and talked to Ashley the next day, and she goes, how'd it go? Said it was good. I cried. I'm a crier now. But after hearing from them, hearing the feedback, they said they appreciated my honesty. and my values and my compassion. And those were words that I'd never heard before, especially talking about myself. I'd say God has made a change in my life. So I go through the interview and I get home. The following week I get a call. You're our guy. We love everything that you stand for. We love your values. You might not have the leadership that we're looking for, but you as a person is what we need. Oh, Ashley. They want us in North Carolina. As Josh mentioned, Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is your will, Lord. So I signed that offer letter in October. This is our final Sunday here at First Baptist. The movers come tomorrow and start packing our stuff. And we're on the road Thursday to North Carolina. To say that this church is not family. When it came down to it, the hardest part about saying yes was saying goodbye to our church. All of you have made such an important impact in our lives. We believe that you have prepared us for our future. You have served as a light in a dark world. To say that the last 5 years have been easy, they haven't been. But we lift each other up. We help each other when we're down. We celebrate achievements. Nothing brings a tear to my eye more than when someone comes back here in the baptismal and accepts Jesus. Every time. Just knowing that God loves you so much. He pursued me and he brought me home. And that I can pursue him now. And that others are going on their own personal journey to pursue him. It's just an amazing feeling. I want to thank Pastor Luke and Pastor Seth, Pastor Austin, for preaching truth. They say there's a lot of truth out there nowadays. You don't know what truth is. Well, I know there is one truth. There is a God. He is real. He loves each and every one of us. And he will do anything for us. Go to him. Go to him in prayer. If you have any issues, speak to him. Win the prize. Win the prize of the life that God has called you to lead. Whether that be for your family, to serve in your church, to serve in your community. I can't explain the amount of joy it brings when I see kids come to know Jesus. Serve on Wednesday nights. Be a light for these little ones. Be a light in your community. There's so much against you There's the world wants you to live for it. Live for God. As we have the praise band come up, I'm going to pray for us. And then I'm going to leave you with a couple verses that have meant a lot to me. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing me to get through this message. I didn't cry like I did in the first one. I hope that my words have been your words, and that whoever needed to hear it was able to hear it. That we win the prize for you. That we strive for that everlasting life with you through your Son, Jesus. Thank you for this church. Thank you for each and every person in here. We pray for everyone as we go on our way and know that we go in love with prayers behind us. We will continue to keep First Baptist in our prayers and know that this truly is home. In Jesus' name. Final thing. Oh, no applause. No applause. No. It took me a long time to realize that I needed to get rid of myself, all of the personal stuff, and just give it all to God. Every time I hear "Battle Belongs," I cry. Just because I can't believe I went so long through life and realized I can't do it on my own. I need God's help. That I am made for more. And that He really loves us. If you've been struggling, come up to the altar. Say yes to God. Say yes to the prize of the life that God has called you to live. The final verses that I'd like to leave you with, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. And the final one, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Thank you.
Amen. Let's stand and sing.